And let's be clear. Mm-hmm. There is nobody analyzing football in America with the knowledge and the foresight of the great Brian Balder is on our show with us right now. Hi, Bri.
Well, good morning, Angelo.
Bri, I saw that tweet you sent out where you were analyzing the tape, and I was shaking my head, Brian. I went, I don't understand it. You could see it. I'm sure Nick Sirianni could see it. Why does he deviate from a run that is working so well? Help me with that.
It's hard to say. I mean, I really don't know. You just look at the offensive line. You just look how they're just controlling the line of scrimmage. And, you know, at some point in every game, Angelo, you find a run, you find a play that just works. And, you know, you just kind of, you beat it. You beat it until they find a way to stop it. And they found that run, and then they just wouldn't stay with it. You know, whether it was quarterback power or, you know, they had a couple different runs that were working really good, and they were just picking up big chunks. They did that against the Saints the week before with Jordan Howard. They stayed with it, and it was like, you know, it was a perfect bromide. And there's just no reason not to stay with it because it's just so effective. And nothing in the NFL or in any part of football can break down a defense quicker than running the ball right at a team.
Could you break this down a little further? You were an offensive lineman yourself. I know Lane Johnson is a very good run blocker. I know Jason Kelce has. They've been doing it for years. Dickerson, I'm hearing good things about. Driscoll before he got hurt. And then you got Mailata. Kind of take me through, Brian. Why are they so good at blocking the run for the run?
Well, I mean, they're very powerful people. I mean, there's just not many humans on the planet that can do what Jordan Mailata does. And Landon Dickerson might even be stronger. At least that's what Mailata tells me.
Wow.
That he's even stronger than him. And so when they hit people, I mean, they just kind of – they move them. They move bodies. And run blocking is kind of a lost art. A lot of teams don't do it very much anymore. They just want to throw it all the time. But they're really good at it. And you watch Jeff Stoutland before a game. I mean, he's drilling those guys. The guys that are starting, they're drilling them for an hour before the game, just going through fundamentals and techniques and stuff that they're going to need for the game. And you don't see that a lot. You don't see that a lot in the NFL. And, you know, Stout was out there before the guys on the field Sunday, going through certain things and looks that they're going to get, and they were drilling them up until kickoff. And, you know, so they're very well coached. They're very big and powerful people, and they're good at what they do. And nobody really – I don't think there's anybody that can really stop them when they want to really just commit to it. And if you listen to just Sean Payton the week before, Angelo, real quick, they asked him, because he had the number one run defense in football before the Eagles just – completely, you know, torched them. He said the reason why they're good at what they do is they commit to it. And that's what they did against the Saints, and they did not do that on Sunday.
You're right. You know what blows my mind the most? That they threw the ball 11 of the first 16 plays on Sunday, Brian.
Yep.
You were an offensive lineman. These guys know what they're good at. Yep. Are they shaking their heads themselves and going, why would you be doing this? What is their reaction? What's the perspective of the lineman himself?
Well, I mean, they're looking at the turnovers and like, we committed four turnovers. You know, we don't, you know, you're not going to win a game like that. I mean, that's what they're saying. But I mean, they protected the quarterback. If you want to throw it, I mean, they couldn't protect a guy any better than they protected him.
Right.
I mean, all day back there. So, like, they did their job, period, up front. You know, they can only block the play that's called. But, you know, when they're getting 10 and 12 yards of play, you're coming back to the huddle. And they're like, let's just do it again. Let's do it again. You know, and they're coming off the field, and they're probably looking at Nick and looking at, you know, Shane Steichen and the coaches going, if you don't stay with this, you're crazy. But, you know, if you're throwing it in your, you know, in the first half like they did, you know, and you're throwing two interceptions, you're like, you're regrouping at halftime, and you're like, let's just run it. I mean, even on fourth and two in the third quarter there, I mean, run it. You know, like they're throwing it to Jalen Reagor, which is another story all by itself, and you're just trying to figure out why are they throwing a slant to him?
Well, I'm going to get to him in a second. I have one other offensive line question. I need you to analyze a comment that was made after the game by Nick Sirianni, because Nate Herbert came in when Kelce got hurt, and he had two blatant holes, and then the coach came out and gave him a very high marks overall. Listen to this.
Nate did a lot of good things. I thought he played an above average game, and if he didn't have those two holding calls, I think he played a good game.
How do you he nullified a TD with one of the calls. How is that a great game for a lineman, Brian?
Well, the first holding call was a bad call, Angelo.
Oh, it was.
I mean, he drove the guy right into the ground, and the referees, they don't see the whole play. They just see the guy going down to the ground.
Okay.
He just has to learn how to be – I mean, he's a young player. He just has to learn how to be – when to be aggressive and when to finish a play and when to just let it go. You know, and you know, look, the hold on the Boston Scott touchdown, you know, that to me, like, that ruins your day. I don't care what you did.
Yeah.
You know, you have a touchdown taken off the board – it's hard to defend that in any way. I mean, I wouldn't sleep at night.
Yeah, exactly. Brian, now let's get to Rager. You analyze these players at a level none of us do. Are you seeing there a guy who's going to be a star? What are you seeing when you're looking at this guy?
I'm looking at a guy that has no confidence and plays with no – has no presence whatsoever. Like, I mean, and you see it in practice. I mean, you can watch that guy in practice. I mean, he's just – there's guys that are 5'10" in this league that can dominate the league. Antonio Brown did it for a long time. Steve Smith. There's guys that size that can dominate. He's not that guy. You know, you want to throw a slant to him on 4th-and-2, and you got a rookie corner on top of you, and you can't just put your foot in the ground and separate from him. Like, there's just not a great deal of confidence, and it's just the way that he carries himself out there. Like, there's no swagger to his game, and. To me, at this point, he's a rep stealer. Like, Quez Watkins is a better player. You know, I mean, what you've seen is what you're going to get from him. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, he just flourishes. But I don't see great hands. I don't see an ability to separate. I don't see a guy that's just going to win on the outside for you. And, you know, at some point, you just look at these guys and you're like, this is who they are. And they're not going to get better. And I could be completely wrong about it. Maybe he becomes a star, but I don't see it.
Well, then now you got to explain to me why he would get 7 targets in a game, the same number as Goddard and Smith together got. Doesn't make sense to me, Brian.
Well, the interception, you know, in the third quarter, like I, you know, that was a bad throw by Jalen.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason for him to stay on. Like, first of all, I don't know why he went to Rager to begin with. He's got Devontae and Goddard on the other side. Like, they're open just – well, I don't know what would lead him to that. And he did stare him down. It was easy play for Xavier McKinney. But, I mean, even in the final play of the game, you know, Devontae, this is a crossing route in the middle of the field, him and Quez Watkins. And, you know, you would think that you would just go to your favorite target right there. There's a chance to get him the ball. I kind of understand why he didn't throw it to him initially. But you could tell how upset Devontae Smith was after the interception when Rager dropped it at the goal line. You know, it was a great throw. It's a great throw. You can't ask for anything more from Jalen. The line protected. He had time. He reset. Made a perfect throw to Jalen. He's just got to make the catch. But that's a guy that doesn't have a lot of confidence right now. We saw Nelson Aguilar here, and they shipped him out of here. And he's had a little renaissance, you know, and with the Raiders and with the Patriots now. But, you know, he lost his confidence here. And that's the thing is if a player is not playing with confidence – you have two choices. You can either do what the reporters asked Nick to do, like, are you going to bench him? Or you have to rebuild his confidence. And the way you rebuild his confidence is you put him in a position where you give him some easy catches. And nothing looks easy for him right now.
Brian, just one last thing. I listened to you. Why aren't you a coach? Don't you want to be a coach?
I'm enjoying my life, Angelo. Like, I really am enjoying my life. Okay. You know, like that coaching thing is, you know, it's an 18-hour grind every day.
You would be great at it. I'm telling you that right now, Brian. I want to go out there and hit somebody after I talk to you. You're awesome.
Yeah. Grab Al.
I'm counting on you, Angelo. I mean, I put you in a position, like, to go do that. I need you to do it now.
Uh-oh. I better let you go. Brian, always love talking to you. Thanks a lot, Brian. Appreciate it. The great Brian Baldinger.